Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Okay.
Welcome to episode 214 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. Man, with that ball of music, man, I can't help but think I'm in the middle of a club acting as some kind of DJ. But yeah, it's a little bit dated, but it fits, especially the outro. You know, you got to get up early in the morning. Yeah, there's a theme there. All right, y'all, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Peaceful Valley, also 10% off with promo code PERMA. For those that are new, those are basically, Peaceful Valley is basically the place where I go to get all of my seeds. But we've got a local person around here that's working on a pimp mix like you wouldn't believe. So I'm excited for that, and I'll let you know about it. But if you're waiting, if you got to have something right now, that good bug blend, they got a low growing and a high growing from Peaceful Valley Farm. I know it's all the way out in California, y'all, but they do have some really awesome seeds. And it's basically everything we use in our emerging, we don't use it often, but we do use it in our emerging food forest and orchards. That's what we put around everything. So yeah, go check them out. 10% off with promo code PERMA. If you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed if you'd like. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player, you can do it over there as well. So if you want to drop a SAT on a PIMP, you know where to do it. Well, as you can tell, I'm flying solo today. Homestead Honey's down there doing some pretty awesome stuff. Like right now, she's making the stuff for Comfrey Salve. I might as well kind of cover that, because those of you out there that have a freeze dryer, you can actually make some of this stuff yourself. But if you want to support a player, you can go to the website and go get some over there. But basically, she just got finished picking these leaves. And so what we do, she basically sticks it in a food processor, adds a little bit of water, and then minces this stuff up to where it's basically a liquid. And then we stick it in a freeze dryer. Now, a lot of people will go ahead and dehydrate it. The only problem with a dehydrator or going through that process is that you're going to lose a whole lot in terms of nutrition and the things you want to keep. But a freeze dryer, you can keep all that stuff. So basically, she sticks it in there, blitzes it, sticks it in the freezer, and then straight into the freeze dryer, which is essentially exactly what we did with all the basil. I just got finished processing that, in fact, right before I got on the microphone. So Michelle picked a bunch of basil. And before that, it was a bunch of oregano. Folks, look, try this experiment if you think I'm crazy. Grow any of your herbs or go get them fresh somewhere and then do what we do. As soon as we pick them, them suckers go on a tray, they go into the freeze dryer. And this is what we are basically living on in the times where things aren't fresh. Go ahead and take a whiff of that stuff. And then take a whiff of that stuff you get from Sam's that comes in the big, or I don't even care if it's the organic stuff that you get from the health food store. It'll blow your mind. I imagine they just dry the stuff in the store, but when you freeze dry it, y'all, you keep everything. So I don't really talk about Harvest freeze dryers much, but if you go to our website and then use the link there, it does help us out. This isn't a commercial for them. In fact, you've almost never hear me talk about them in the podcast. I really ought to, because that thing runs day and night. And as long as you leave the oil changed in it, you know, like every five cycles of something, you change the oil. You don't change it like you would on a car. You basically filter it and then stick it right back in the machine. So, Yeah, y'all, I'm not kidding. When I say we are in the preparedness, you have no idea. But it's also getting yourself through so you don't have to buy that stuff out of the store if you grow enough of it, or if you just grow a little bit of it, or you can get some fresh somewhere at a farmer's market. You can do that. Go get that. Take it home. Freeze dry it. And then smell that, and then smell the stuff you bought in the store. Zero comparison. It's really a crime. It's really a crime. All right. So got that one covered. So that's why, yeah, I'm going solo again today. So the Homestead Honey's down there doing that. All right. Other farm news. We got a new routine. Folks, I signed a non-disclosure agreement with these folks, so I can't tell you yet what it is. And in fact, I don't know that I could ever tell you what the full protocol is, but I'm going through this program and I'm following it to the letter as much as I possibly can. To a lesser extent, so is Michelle. Now, this is totally different. I'll tell you what I can tell you. So instead of eating, for months now, I've been basically eating once or twice a day. And then I fast, you know. I haven't been doing a whole lot of fasting as of late, but this diet is really kind of throwing me for a loop because it's not a diet. It's really a lifestyle change. And these people make some pretty high claims, and I'm putting them to the test. I reached out to them and said, hey, got a couple of medical issues I wonder if you guys can help me out with. And they said, well, we feel pretty confident that we can do it. And, they're like, okay, well, here's how. No. I'm like, no. That's not how it goes on this show, man. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to take it for a test drive. And either I will mention it, you know, we'll talk about affiliates on down the road, but we got to first find out if this thing works. So I'm doing the protocol, and part of it means getting up way earlier than we normally do because we still got all the regular stuff we got to do here. And right now it involves doing a little bit of very light cardio that pretty much anybody can do. And so far, I really feel good about myself, and so does Michelle. Tell you why. I don't know how to tell you exactly, folks. I will say this. Whenever you add something new to your routine, when you find yourself into not a slump by any means, I don't ever get a slump doing this work, doing this farm life. What you do find yourself doing is getting into a pattern where if you're not careful, every day can be like Groundhog Day, even in terms of how you do your nutrition, you shouldn't be fasting. I don't think, I wonder if you shouldn't be changing your diet just like you change a workout routine. Your body gets used to it. So I wonder if maybe you ought to be doing variations of diets. But I got to say, I'm a little bit tired because I'm getting up way earlier and I'm still going to bed at the same time. So that's just the nature of this life this time of year. Going to try to do something a little bit better there. And in terms of going to bed earlier. But man, there's still work that needs to get done. So anyway, just adding another little thing into the routine it's a change. It adds a little more, if you're not careful, it will add a little bit of stress to your life, but it doesn't have to because I'm already, like I said, me and Michelle are already going at 100 miles an hour now. I don't know that, you don't realize you have another gear until you add a few of them in there. And I figured that out with 75 hard. For those that don't know what I'm talking about in terms of 75 hard, it's a program created by Andy Frisella, the Real AF podcast, and it's basically five things a day. And it sounds simple, but give it a shot. So basically, the five things you do under that program are you got to drink a gallon of water a day. You have to read at least 10 pages of a book, which that was easy for me because I'm already, I read considerably more than that. But so 10 pages of a book, do an indoor workout for 45 minutes, do an outdoor workout for 45 minutes. And the last one is you got to take a picture. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But do this because here's the caveat. You do that for 75 days straight. It doesn't matter what the diet is. It doesn't matter what the workout routine. You just got to do it and you got to commit to it. You miss one thing. Any one of those days, you start back at zero, which I had to do. And I talked about it on this program. But anyway, doing that made me realize, even though I thought my day was full, I found out that doing that program, I was able to do twice as much. In fact, even through a speed reading program, well, it's really a speed learning program that I hadn't done before. Threw that in, learned how to do things with my left hand. I know that sounds simple, but it rewires your brain in a really good way. So I was brushing my teeth with my left hand, learning how to juggle. Never completed the whole juggling thing. I need to go back and do that again. But I found out that with this program, even though I didn't think I could add one more thing in a day, what I realized is all the spots throughout my day that need to be pruned. Give you a prime example. Okay, things I will not compromise on that I have to do every day, and I got to start my day with it, is I got to do a Bible study or at least listen to the audio Bible while I do my Wim Hof breathing in the morning. That's basically how I start. Well, let me back up. I basically, through Andrew Huberman, I take a half a teaspoon of salt and put it in water. It's counterintuitive. I know it sounds crazy. And then you drink a bunch of water. And what happens overnight? Your body's dehydrated no matter what. So you wake up in the morning. It's a quick way to hydrate yourself. Had Mike the Fit Farmer give it a shot and, looking to see what, he gets out of it. It's not just him. There was also another lady, Barbara, I can't think of her name. She is incredible. Talked about the very same thing and not using just any salt. You got to use Celtic sea salt because it has all the minerals and everything your body needs. So anyway, changing these programs around has made me realize that I can be way more productive. And then I'll tell you what else I did. So in order to do this stuff, I've had to prune out. When I did 75 hard, I had to prune out the things that weren't absolutely necessary. Now, does that seem like it might sound like grueling to most people, but it isn't. Because I'm building that part of myself that needs the most work. It is a mental toughness program. That's what it is. And this one is something of a variation of another thing, but the things I had to prune out was listening to all the podcasts that might be talking political stuff. I'm like, okay, I got a limit to one of those a day. Still got to do my education, which I'm back to doing tomorrow. I'm going to start. Going to commit an hour every single day to education. And that can be in the form of listening to certain things. Look, y'all, we spare no expense when it comes to education. And I mean no expense. If there's something I want to learn, something William wants to learn, something Michelle wants to learn, we save for it and then we buy it. I mean, that's how it goes. The way I see it is, if this is my life, if this is what I choose to do with my life, permaculture, preparedness, practical living, if it is truly my passion, permaculture is my passion, if it truly is, then every waking moment that I have available, I should be studying it, don't you think? And that's exactly what we do. It's just you find yourself busy, especially in the growing months where your education somehow, some way always seems to get pruned out. You know, I've never had have you, in the listening audience, have you ever had an excuse for why you didn't brush your teeth? Yeah, me neither. Or if you did, you didn't tell nobody. But so why do we make excuses for the things that we ought to be doing that are really helpful to ourselves? You know, we always have an excuse why we didn't work out. We have an excuse why we didn't study. We have an excuse why we didn't pray. We have an excuse for why we didn't spend time with our kids. And y'all, almost certainly the worst at all those things at certain parts of my life. Didn't have those things together. And I struggle with them now. I'm not saying this to preach, y'all. I'm just saying we gotta invest in ourselves to some extent or another. And believe me, that's one of the things that's actually kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. So I'm going to make sure I get it back. And that's where it helps also to have an accountability partner like Michelle. And she won't be nice about it either. So not all the time anyway. All right. So some other things going on around here. Okay. So I've done a lot of work on talking about the cell phone radiation. Folks, that stuff hasn't gone away. I'm still doing it. And I'm working. I was actually on a phone earlier. I'll come to that in a minute with a guy in San Francisco trying to get information regarding some of these products that mitigate the dirty power that's coming in your house. I've talked about it before, but for the new people out there, I'll just kind of give you a brief synopsis. So into this place, what's considered safe, depending on whom you ask, is below 100 millivolts when you put a tester on it, okay? Not your typical fluke voltage meter. You need a specific tester. GreenWave makes one. Satic Shield makes one. SATIC. They make one. Big differences in the numbers, but generally, some people will say below 100 is good, below 50 is good, below 25 is excellent. So when we were having all the trouble around here, and we had it confirmed, basically, we were being spiritually attacked, electronically attacked, we were being gang stalked, all that stuff, y'all. And to a certain extent, there's still battles with some of that stuff still going on. Well, one of the things that's easier to mitigate is the dirty power coming into your home. Now, what do I mean by that? in a nutshell, I'll go into more detail in the future, but in a nutshell, coming off that power line, because of all of our electronics that are tied into the power line, whether it's your cell phone, your computer, your refrigerator, your fluorescent lights, it screws up the sine wave. And by the time the power gets to your house, it could be pretty messed up. Not to mention all the things in your house that could be messing it up. Well, anyway, I've hit up two different companies and I've been testing their products, finding out which one. They both work, but one works and I think has great advantage over the other in terms of the listening people in this audience. So I was calling, getting clarification out there. And folks, I'm telling you what, man, I am really, really pleased with the results of both products. But as I'll do a video probably next week sometime, I got a few more. My concern is, I'm just going to tell y'all straight. When I reach out to a person, I say, hey, you know, this is what I do. I'm a journeyman electrician, got a YouTube channel, got a podcast. Both of them are very successful. The podcast even more so because we're not being suppressed here. You dig? And before I talk to my people about this, I want to test your product. And so not everybody gets a nod. I mean, there's some people out there, you never hear about them because I didn't tell you about them. They just didn't pass the muster. Both of them did, but for different reasons. And I basically got to figure out which one I'm going to go with. I pretty much made up my mind, I think, but I'm just going to sleep on it a little bit, maybe even pray. Well, I need to pray on it. We pray on everything. We should be anyway. And it's a more inexpensive way to get your house and yourself squared away from this dirty electricity, because you're sleeping in these places. They're in your rooms. They're everywhere around you. And you got to get that stuff, because I'm a granddad now. Okay. And my son and his wife, they're living in a new place. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, man, is my grandbaby being bombarded with this stuff? So I got to be thinking about these things. It's a selfish motive, not only for ourselves. I want to make sure we're living in the cleanest electronic environment, if you got to have it, possible. You know, I wish, man, there's so many times I wish I'd listened to James over at Strand Farm. I mean, y'all, he is wicked smart, both he and his wife. He had been telling me about this stuff long ago. And I'm just now catching up to where James was. So, yeah, that's part of the reason why they have their house off-grid, so they're not tied into any of this junk. But it can also affect your off-grid stuff as well. So maybe in the future we'll talk about that. But anyway, said all that to say what I'm about to say. I've been going through the house, doing checks in different places, and I'm finding hot spots. And I'm going to display this in the video because I don't know that I would be able to give it proper justice on a podcast. But there are hot spots throughout this house. And it's shocking what's causing it, because it's easy to find out. Don't worry, I'll explain it all in the video. But folks, you might want to be thinking about some of this stuff because you're sleeping in these environments. The easiest thing you can do is turn off your Wi-Fi at night. Okay, that helps. Get the phone out of the room, put that thing in airplane mode. Not that that's doing any good, because tell me, if it's in airplane mode and it's not transmitting or receiving, how am I getting updates? How's Michelle getting updates? How's that happening? So if it's happening to us, I can almost bet that it's probably happening to everybody else out there. So if that thing's transmitting, that means you're being bombarded. So get the easiest thing you can do, easiest, turn off the Wi-Fi at night. Get the phones out of your room. Ground yourself. Get a grounding mat that you can put under your sheets. And if you have synthetic sheets, it ain't going to work, or it ain't going to work right. So make sure you have cotton or, I don't sleep on cotton, y'all. I sleep on flax. Get yourself some decent sheets. Get a grounding bed. That way, even if you're in an environment like an apartment building or anything else like that, folks, I'm telling you about the products that we use, that I buy with my own money. I'm not, you know, they may start off, you know, sending me this stuff when I ask for it. And then if it's legit, so I can be honest with y'all, I go back and I buy it. And today I just bought, 5 units of this one product. But do the easy stuff first. Ground yourself. Get yourself grounded. Because even if you're being hit with a bad electronic environment around you, you can at least mitigate as much of it as you possibly can, because if you're constantly grounded, it has a hard time taking root in your body. You're constantly dropping those electrons right to ground and it's going out of you. So I'm going to talk more about that, y'all, because honestly, what is any of this life worth if I mean, doing this life, most of us got into the homesteading space because you want a healthier life. You're concerned about everything going on. Well, they're hitting you 30 ways to Sunday, from the cell phones to your Wi-Fi to the very power coming in your walls. And like I said, as a 27-year IBEW journeyman electrician, believe me, I know a little something about this. So I'm going to talk more about it. I'm not going to apologize for spending so much time on it because it's really that important. All right. So other things we got going on. Things are, look, I ain't going to lie, some things are getting behind. And there's a lot of you out there that are probably understanding exactly what I'm saying. It's that time of year. You may have a town job. Things just get away from you. Don't stress about it. Do what you can. That's all you can do. Do what you can. And then when you're able, where I get ahead on a lot of this stuff, believe it or not, y'all, is when fall rolls around. When things aren't vegetative, because the biggest things that I see getting ahead of me right now, and this is probably, pay attention, because this is probably going to be helpful for a lot of y'all out there. Where I really try to get ahead is in fall and winter. Because through this time of year, because it's just me and Michelle working all this, I can't get up there and cut down this silver grass. It's getting away from me. There's nothing I can do about it. I just don't have the bandwidth. Or I can wait for the sheep, go through, and then bam, I can go behind them and then get this stuff in check. Okay, I can do that. But here's where you really get ahead. When things aren't vegetative, if you got thorny, thickety stuff, that is a really good time to get ahead. And if you're going to do all that and you're running animals through it, put down your hay, put down a straw, put down any carbon you can. You may not build that soil in 1 year, but you will build it. And then the things that you find, like multi-floor rows, it could be your version of this Chinese silvergrass. When you make an environment that is more and more fungal, it cannot. You'll find out that most of the bad things cannot live in that environment. A pasture generally should be about 50-50 fungus and bacteria. In most cases, in every soil we've tested, it's almost all bacteria, if any at all. Yeah, there are times where there's not even that in the soil, or I mean marginal pieces of it. So anyway, when it comes to your property and you feel like, oh my goodness, all this stuff's getting ahead of me, just kind of take a deep breath, do some of that Wim Hof breathing, and then just know, okay, I'm going to gain on it. Remember, we don't win this war in miles. We win it in inches. Another thing getting away from me, we got rain. Okay, I know that's not a helpful thing for a lot of you folks that are still in drought, but we got a lot of rain, and generally July is our rainy month around here, which is good. It's part of the reason why I chose to live in a temperate rainforest, is because water is less of a problem here. Now, you don't take it, well, so many of us do take it for granted, and I'm trying not to, but we still got a driveway that has problems, so it's washing away more and more of it with every rain event. So that's something else that's getting ahead of me. Erosion around the house. We live on the side of a doggone mountain. Need a retaining wall. Michelle and I are going to basically make a tire wall out of it, because this place ultimately will be a demonstration site when the time is right. So, and then also around the high tunnel, same exact thing over there. So we got to fix some erosion issues there. But folks, do what you can. Make that list. Make that list, check it twice, and just prioritize what you can do. Believe it or not, when a lot of people are taking it easy in the fall and the winter, that's where I'm trying to get ahead on the outdoor projects. Trees need to come down. Bam, that's when I'm going to do it. Thicket needs to get removed. That's when I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to try to cover it up with as much carbon and compost extract as I possibly can. And that's exactly why, look, at that Homesteaders United Jamboree, that's exactly why I chose to do a composting class out there. You should be able to walk away from this thing, seeing it three-dimensionally, knowing every marker you need to look for so you can have the greatest chance of success. Don't try to, look, ask Joel Salatin. Number one problem he has is people don't follow the recipe. Just follow the recipe until you feel competent. Then you can make your changes. All right. So, like I said a moment ago, Homesteaders United, August 29th through the 31st. I'm going to be there, and a lot of you are going to be there as well. I can't wait for that. Man, I just talked to one of the chefs today, and or at least the one running this food truck, folks. I'm telling you what, Creaky Tree Cafe is going to be running that food truck out there. Without a doubt, the best food truck I've ever seen in my life, bar none. He got out of the medical industry when COVID got stupid, and he followed his passion, he and his wife, and they are doing a bang-up job. They're coming all the way from the other side of the state. I mean, like 4 hours away, I think. And man, I'm really excited to what he's going to do on the food truck for breakfast and lunch, and then what our chefs are going to be doing for dinner. And look, folks, tickets can't be free, and we can't lower the price. Fact is, we got to pay these chefs. We got four chefs coming out to do this stuff, so these guys got to get paid. Plus, we got to pay for the venue. Those things are not cheap, so that's why we got to charge something for it, but we wanted to do something different, and I think you're going to see that when you come there. So I'm really looking forward to that. All right, so before we get into the good news, Redemption Shield, I was just talking about grounding a minute ago, and my bare feet in this studio right now are on this grounding mat from Redemption Shield. I was talking a moment ago, they make the one for the bed. I don't recommend the sheets because they don't last as long, but if you can get the one that you put under your sheets, it seems like a rubber mat, but it isn't. It's you can ground that. It lasts so much longer than the sheets. That's what I'm going to recommend. The sheets do a good job for a while, but I would rather have something that really is going to last a long, 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 long time. And that's exactly why we go with them. So Redemption Shield, promo code PERMA will get you 10% off. They might even, there's a lot of times they run sales concurrently, so you can get them both. So that's pretty cool. All right. So let's get into the good news here. All right. So everybody knows my good news section can be a double-edged sword. So this one here is prepping and hydration, essential tips for preparing for extreme heat. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, the reason why this was especially, relevant. I was on the phone with the guy I was talking to about the devices I'm thinking about using. Not thinking about, I'm currently using them, and I'm asking him certain particulars, certain questions I have, because I want to make sure I got the due diligence. And folks, I didn't finish that thought. I'm going to go ahead and finish it now real quick. It's a little side note, but they send me stuff, right? And so it may pan out really, really good. So here's what I do. And I don't tell these people I ever do this. I'll go buy it. And then just to make sure that you didn't send me your top of the line stuff. So I go out here telling folks about it. So I got off the horn with him. Use something else totally different, went to the website, bought some stuff. If that stuff comes back like it ought to, then I'll tell you about it. But I'm not about to have egg on my face because I didn't do some due diligence and spend the money. I'm asking y'all to spend money for this stuff. Well, it only makes sense that I do the very same and double check this stuff to make sure they're not just sending me something that's like, oh, we know this works, but 50% of our other products don't. So anyway, I'm on the horn with this guy and I'm asking him about a couple of applications. And he's out in San Francisco and he's telling me, he's like, sorry, man, if I'm a little bit dopey, it's like 100 degrees out here today. I'm like, oh, okay. So you guys don't use the AC? He's like, nobody in San Francisco has an air conditioner unless you're wealthy. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, dude. He says, and this guy's like semi-retired. He's like, nobody, unless you are wealthy, you will not have an AC unit in San Francisco because nobody can afford it. I'm like, what do you mean they can't afford it? He says, look, the electric bills are high through the roof right now in San Francisco, San Mateo, all those places around there. I'm like, dude, you got a powerhouse right there in San Mateo. What are you talking about? And he tells me that nobody can afford air conditioning in San Francisco. So they're out there getting Kentucky fried right now to hear him tell it. So anyway, that's what made me think about, I need to probably cover this. For a lot of people out there that may not, or that you've moved from a certain environment, like my friends Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homestead, they came from Arizona to North Carolina. They don't know what a real winter's like. Even here in North Carolina in the mountains, they still don't know. You go to Kansas, Nebraska, yeah, you're going to feel, or even Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, I've been colder there than I was up in Alaska. But a lot of people right now are getting in this homesteading game. So you may find yourself in a hot spot. So, according to this article, I'm probably going to add a few things here. You want to pick the right clothing. Now, they're saying when it's sunny, obviously you want to keep it loose and in layers and all things. And believe it or not, y'all, when you see a lot of Hispanic workers, guys straight off the boat from Mexico that are out there doing this work, you'll notice the old timers, 9 times out of 10, what are they wearing? Long sleeves. I kid you not. You will stay cooler in long sleeves than you do in a t-shirt. I'm dead serious. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but a button-up shirt, long sleeves where you don't have it tucked in, I guarantee you will stay cooler in that. Now, they're also telling you to wear light colors, but here's what's crazy. In the Middle East, I remember watching these Bedouins in the middle of the desert black from head to toe. And I'll tell you what else they did. They sit down and drink coffee, but they would put salt in it. Yeah, totally opposite of what everybody tells you here. You know, and they don't have any high blood pressure issues, you know, cardiac issues, none of that stuff. But anyway, they wore black. So anyway, you want to wear protective clothing, wear a hat. And I wear a wide brim hat. And it seems like every time I'm wearing it when I film, I just happen to be, there's no sunlight at the time when I'm filming. But anyway, I wear a hat. I've had that hat for years. Got a lot of history with that hat. Man, almost sounds like a Chris Ledoux song. Anyway, wear a hat. Michelle hates wearing hats. And sometimes I got to, you know, when it's really, really weird and it's never humid per se up here, not the kind of humidity that we are used or accustomed to and, you know, through the Midwest and Texas and all those places. Nowhere near that kind of heat, but it's a different kind. You're losing heat all the time by breathing it because the air is dry. So obviously stay hydrated. That's something you're also going to want to do. And I'm not going to give any medical advice here, but honestly, drinking that Celtic salt three times a day for me has been a winner in so many different ways. Stay away from the coffee, man. I know everybody wants coffee in the morning, but I know guys that would be on construction sites in Oklahoma out there drinking coffee all day. Well, you're just setting yourself up to be a casualty. Stay away from Gatorade, any of that stuff. Maybe just put a little pinch of sea salt in there or Celtic sea salt and, you know, drive on that way. So, you know, as far as the lip balm and all that stuff, man, I'm not a big fan of it. I would rather cover up than put that poison on my skin. And I'll be honest with y'all, the place I got burned the worst in my life, I'm dead serious when I say that. Yeah, you're thinking, well, how does he get sunburned? The worst sunburn I ever had in my life was in Canada. I kid you not. I was at Camp Petawawa. I was getting my Canadian Airborne wings up there. And yeah, that was the worst sunburn I ever had in my life. And it was in Canada. Who knew? So anyway, next one, whistleblower. Secret Service agents stationed on the rooftop where Trump assassin opened fire, abandoned the post due to heat. Okay, maybe they should have took some of these tips. Folks, I don't know where you stand in this whole thing, but the story changes every 5 minutes. And I do find it curious that people like Dan Bongino, I don't trust that guy as far as I can throw him. And I can provide a pretty impressive list of reasons why nobody should. But, you know, it sure is funny that this guy can dance. At what point, if this story is correct, if any of this stuff is correct, because frankly, I don't buy any of it, anything you're told about everything, y'all, ask yourself, did a profligate liar through the media tell me? Okay, if that's your metric, then you ought to be doubting everything because I'm not sure they're telling the truth about anything. But anyway, I would love to ask Dan Bongino, how many coincidences does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a manufactured conspiracy? Because the guy will say everything but conspiracy and says, oh, we don't do this in our country. Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Secret Service did stand down when JFK got murdered. Yeah, they stood down. It is proven. Vince Palomara, look at his work. Without a doubt, 100% stand down by the security elements. Check out Colonel Fletcher Prouty. Yeah, say that 10 times. Colonel Fletcher Prouty. I mean, without a doubt, the Secret Service stood down to get Kennedy smoked. So at what point, Bongino, do you say, okay, there's too many coincidences here to be malfeasance or just dummies in charge? At some point, you got to start to say, this sounds like a conspiracy, but you'll never hear that dude say it. So anyway, I don't trust him. But here's why that's a good news story, is because now there are certain segments of the public starting to ask critical questions about all these sacred cows, whether it be Israel, people are asking. Now, nobody ever knew of the USS Liberty, which, by the way, Israel tried to sink, I think, in 1968. Just bought a shirt from the USS Liberty Foundation. Anyway, nobody ever wants to talk about these guys. Nobody ever wants to talk about that sacred cow, our best friends in the Middle East. Now they're starting to ask questions. I'm not saying jettison them. I'm saying ask questions. Now people are starting to ask questions about hold on, man. What's up with this Joe Biden thing? Now they're asking questions about this. Now they're asking questions about that. Who knows? They might go back and start asking about all these shootings that just seem to happen coincidentally. All the cameras are always turned off. I talked about that one last program. Every single thing is just a bunch of coincidences. So are we conspiracy theorists or coincidence theorists? I think I'd rather be called a conspiracy theorist, which, by the way, the CIA created to marginalize anybody that asked critical questions regarding the Kennedy assassination. So, you know what? Folks, I'm not even going to lie. I've considered doing an entirely different, if I had the bandwidth, I would do it, an entirely different podcast talking about this stuff. Remember I told you I study? Well, you know, when other people are watching ball games or this and that, this is what I look into. I examine these things because I don't want to be caught flat-footed. Because I'm good at seeing patterns. That's what I do in permaculture. Because I'm good at seeing patterns, I'm good at seeing other patterns as well. And relying on the information of people that have a pretty good track record, and you're not going to find them in the mainstream prostitute whore media. All right, so the third one. Check this out. CrowdStrike global outage shows the serious danger of a centralized, digitalized world. Well, this kind of goes on the heels of what I just said. You know what? All the people that are touch and go about preparedness, the ones that are awake are now saying, whoa, you mean I'm like a cyber attack from losing everything out of my bank account? You mean I'm like a cyber attack away from somebody screwing up the water or maybe an EMP, whatever the case may be? I'm calling this good news because those who were on the fence or on the line or those in the sound of my voice that are thinking, I don't know, maybe I want to do, maybe I don't. This is probably pushing you over the line to think about, you know what? I'm into this homestead thing. Might want to think a little more about what the permaculture pimp daddy's saying regarding preparedness, because they do go hand in hand. I've been seeing this for the longest time. Okay, you got bird flu coming up. Seems like they're going to kick that off in Colorado based on all the overtures I'm seeing. Whatever the case may be, I'm calling this good news because this is one more thing to make people wake up and smell the corruption before they fall asleep drinking the hemlock. You dig? All right, with that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, outsourcing governance. We get the government we deserve is a quote many people would have a hard time accepting. But if you believe you create your own reality, then you can't pick and choose what you manifest versus what just happens to you. We have been asleep at the wheel and let other people design a system of victimhood that spans multiple generations. The prime directive of permaculture is to take personal responsibility for your own life. There is power in accepting responsibility. This doesn't mean a cold indifference to others, but you can help far more people from a place of abundance than from a place of scarcity. We the people have all the power, but we are too distracted by fighting amongst ourselves to realize it. We waste so much time on presidential elections, but have no idea who runs our towns and cities. You want public food forests? Well, get elected to the local parks department. Change only ever happens from the bottom up. The system is designed to keep us from participating. It's very difficult to make a change if you're constantly worried about putting food on the table. This is why I studied wilderness survival. I was tired of making decisions from a place of fear. Like Jeff Lawton says, being afraid is boring. Once you step across that line, there is no turning back. And we can't do it alone. We're not supposed to do it alone. We need to come together in our communities and decide how we want to be governed, or else someone else is going to do it for us. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. I'm wearing one of his shirts right now, the nitrogen fixing shirt. Everybody should go out there and buy one of his shirts because you talk about a conversation starter, and plus it'll be with like-minded people. Eric sent me this thing the other day, it might have been yesterday, where he texted this thing of all these places and all these positions in a town that just go unfilled. I mean, if you live in a city or anywhere near it, because honestly, Eric has got me asking critical questions about my involvement because I'm so doggone busy, I'm thinking, man, I really need to run for city council, even though I don't live in the city or, you know, something. I need to run to some extent or another because honestly, look, y'all, I'm just going to keep it straight. You're either an activist or an inactivist. Either way, you're involved. You just as well be one of the people out there that's trying to make a change for the better. School board, dog catcher, whatever elected position, I'm seriously going to examine this. And I'm going to see where I can fit in there. I mean, I'm going to start going to these meetings. I went to a few of them. And I got to say, I was totally disappointed, at least in the town that I live in. It's not even, like I said, the town doesn't tell me what to do out here. I live in the county. But I went there just to go see what this thing was like. Folks, it was like a bunch of old geezers sitting up there telling this guy that he can't have a tattoo parlor because he's worried about blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, I'm not a big fan of tattoos. But at the end of the day, you got a dead town. There's no business in the town. We are a college town, and most of the businesses in our downtown section are vacant because of these sacred cows over there. Well, if I want to make a difference, I'm going to have to stand up and kick some butt. Once again, y'all, my man, Eric Boyd, go over there, check him out, Remote Permaculture Design, get t-shirts, all of it. Like I said, I don't even make t-shirts anymore, even though people are asking. Probably ought to get a few made or actually work with Eric to get some. Because honestly, what has Abercrombie ever done for me? I don't wear their shirts. I've tried to wear everything. If I'm wearing something, it's usually trying to make a statement, or I'm wearing it in support of another channel, of another podcast, or my brother Eric over there, who's doing unbelievable, fantastic work. But he's absolutely right, y'all. You better get loose or get lost, or don't complain. I mean, people say voting doesn't do any good. Yeah, at the national level, yeah, it certainly doesn't. But at the town level, you might have a really good shot. All right. So, and that's where, you know, all politics is local. Forgive the Tip O'Neill quote there, but I know it's become something of a cliche. But seriously, that's where we really all ought to start, and myself included. All right. So let me jump right into this, because we do have record numbers getting into this space. Okay. I'm just basically going to come up with 10. It's really 11 tips for the people that are getting into this space. Now, what inspired this? It was funny because I was at that East Tennessee Homestead Alliance, and people were asking, well, what should people do, you know, on their farming journey? And other people on the stage gave different answers. And I don't remember exactly what I said, because I never do when I'm in those environments. I'm so nervous half the time. I'm just hoping and praying that I'm coherent. So in there, I think I said something along the line of, you know what? Too many people put the cart before the horse. You're worried about putting in a food forest, but you don't even have a roof over your head. You're worried about, where's my garden? You know, all this food I'm going to grow in my garden, but you don't have water. My buddy in Oklahoma, one of my best friends, he actually told me, he has a guy working for him right now, just went on a trip to Branson, Missouri, he and his wife, and they just bought this homestead, put a trailer on it. It ain't got no water. They spent the money going to Branson because wells are too expensive. You ain't got no water, and there ain't no rural water out there. You think your priorities are a little misaligned? Yeah. So that sort of thing is going on. But look, there's other people that just don't know any better. So I'm gonna break this down and just give you some bullet points. It's not going to answer everything, but things I think you ought to consider if you're getting into this space. First of all, just like my son, when he goes out and does a consultation, the first thing he advises everybody to do, do you have any storable food? Because if something jumps off a week from now, a month from now, 6 months from now, how are you going to get through it? Do you have water? Do you have food? Those are pretty basic things, y'all. But I can't even begin to tell you how many people I know that are in this space that might, at the most, have a month of food. If you read the book 1 Second After, written by William Forstchen, and you look at the interviews, the subsequent interviews he's given, and he's hired, I believe, actuaries to find out how many people would perish if there were, you know, it would kill me. It's funny because people would be on that Doomsday Prepper show, and I'm preparing for this, I'm preparing for that. Look, if you prepare for an EMP, you're prepared for everything else. So if you need a benchmark as to what you ought to be preparing for, shoot for an EMP. Because all the others are, I mean, there is nothing more catastrophic than an EMP. In fact, 90% of this country will be dead right in the middle of those houses if an EMP were to go off tomorrow because they don't have food. Okay? So let me just start right there. That was one I actually added to the list right before I started broadcasting. I was like, how did I not put this one on there? So right off the bat, you're thinking, oh, well, I can't pay for freeze-dried food. Well, don't get freeze-dried food. Here's what you do. You know what? It's more expensive. I haven't checked the prices lately, but you can get, last time I checked, you can get a 50-pound bag. Now, what was it? About a year ago, it was $17 at Sam's. You can get a 50-pound bag of white rice. Yeah, it's not the best quality stuff in the world, but you can get a 50-pound bag for, what was it, $17 back then? I think it was up to $25 last time I looked. That's still a bargain. A bargain. Go get yourself some 5-gallon buckets. Get those Mylar bags. Get the good ones. Get some oxygen absorbers. There's other ways you can do it, too. You don't need necessarily oxygen absorbers, although those are the best. You can use dry ice. Stick it in the bottom of there. Fill it up. Look, there's plenty of instructions. Even we've done videos on it. You can go out there, get rice, get beans, get dry goods. Don't forget the fat. Get shelf-stable fat. Coconut oil, still pretty doggone cheap at Sam's last time I looked. Avocado oil. Both of those are great oils. Stay away from, honestly, the other vegetable oils. You can put back tons and tons of food by getting dry goods. If you're already at Sam's, maybe thinking about those substandard spices I was just telling you about. Get some really, really, really great salt. That's why when I prep all of my food that's going in the freeze dryer, y'all, I oversalt it. Here's something you might want to know about a freeze dryer, is that when you reconstitute it, it always feels like, at least to me, that there's not enough salt in there. So I oversalt it, and I'm using really good stuff like Redmond's or Celtic. I'm using the best salt I can find. Baja Gold's really great salt. Some say that's even better than the Celtic. I don't know that personally, but that's what Gary Brecka said. Anyway, when you put those things back, that may be the only means that you have to get minerals and salt in your body. So think about those things. So put those things back, and that's just kind of a spitball of some of the basic things you can get. Just kind of use your imagination on some of that stuff. Medications, things like that, too, you might want to consider. So right off the bat, you want to research and get your education. Okay, that was my initial number one. Like I said, take the one I just added, make that number 11, I guess. So think about this. Research and education. I got family members, I won't say who, every single time you turn around, they're on a vacation. Yeah, one in particular. Every single time I turn around, she's on vacation. But you ain't got basic, you're into the IRS for I don't even know. Yeah, I know it's theft, but you're into them for I don't know how many thousands. You're into student loans for I don't know how many thousands. You're into, you got money for a vacation, but you don't have time to go out here and research. You're asking me for advice. I find it real curious. Some of these folks, they don't have the money to go get, you ever notice nobody ever borrows money to pay their tuition for a school. You got Joel Salatin has a who's who of probably the best in the world at what they do, and he can't put butts in seats. That's crazy to me. That is crazy to me. If this is the life you've chosen, learn from the best or the best you can afford. I've said that numerous times. Learn from the best or the best you can afford. I've talked about a permaculture design certificate. You can spend a couple of thousand and get the very best from Jeff Lawton. And to me, it is the very best. Or you can go to another one where you're going to get all the same information, just packaged differently, for $25 a month at School of Permaculture. You can do it online. Do it at your leisure. Do your research. There's a lot of us. Look, I know YouTube is putting the brakes on a lot of us out here that are trying to put out good information. And it's working. But I just pray, and Michelle and I pray every night, that the people that need it find it. There's a lot of good people out there putting out good stuff. And YouTube, I think the powers that shouldn't be want us ill-prepared. So I'm realizing that if we're in the middle of a homestead tsunami, and we are, we would have record numbers that are signing up to find out more information. They're not. So folks, you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to search. You're going to have to find out for yourself. So that, yeah, what does that look like? Books. YouTube, getting a PDC. Folks, I can't stress that enough. Get a permaculture design certificate. It is some of the best money you will ever spend, and it's not even that expensive. That thing alone has paid such dividends in my life. I don't even know how to describe it. When I went through, it was, maybe $1,000. Folks, that has put more money in my pocket, more food in my fridge, which is essentially money in my pocket, than all the money combined that I spent on a college education. I've not made a single dime on my college degree. Neither is Michelle. It's kind of laughable when you think about it. So the best education, go out there, get an apprenticeship. See if you can go work at a butcher shop. Work with a plumber, an electrician. Tell them you'll work for free. That's what I had to do to get in the butcher's trade. So go out there. Yeah, get your education. Sorry to spend so much time on that. Number two, visit farms. Not permapasture's farm, because I can't do it right now. And I know a lot of people hit me up. I don't have the bandwidth, and I don't have the parking, and I can't do it in such a way to where I have people just coming in and out. You know, this ain't Polyface where I can do that sort of thing. And we're in such steep ground that I can't do it. That's why I'm praying to get this land on either side of me so I can make a parking lot, so we can do these tours. So you can come out here and say, oh, good night. That's what a swale looks like. That's what a food forest looks like. So you can see it three-dimensionally, and then you can ask all the questions. But visit farms that will have you. Like I said, right now, I can't do it. Access your resources. Now, those resources aren't all money. Mike the Fit Farmer was telling me to get the training that he needed for certain parts of education. Look, man, I mean, sweat equity in a lot of cases is better than money. Yeah, it really is. So if you don't have the money, is there some way you can trade out there? Because people are willing to do that. If I had a nickel, like back when I was buying malt, I didn't buy mulch. I traded it for honey. He loved this honey so much that this guy was giving me all the mulch I could stand and then some. So it could be physical. I mean, it could be financial stuff. I mean, you name it. Think about your resources. Okay, when you're getting down to brass tacks, you're going to have to choose a location. Now, that's where the PDC, or the Permaculture Design Certificate, comes in handy also when you're choosing that location. If you're somebody like me and I'm working on resources when I'm able to write a pretty comprehensive work of the security concerns you should consider also when you're choosing a location. These are things that, you know, I'm overlaying my military background with my electrical background, with my permaculture background, with all these other backgrounds that I have, and I'm trying to come up with a unified field theory, so to speak, regarding some of this stuff. But yeah, choosing the location matters. And for me, I can't think of a single property I ever purchased, we purchased as a family, that anybody else wanted. In just about every case, it's always all but one or two has been a handshake deal. And I was able to create that deal. I've talked about it in some of the earliest episodes. I might have to circle back and revisit that because we got a lot of new people here. But yeah, choosing that location kind of matters. Are you in the city? Read the book Strategic Relocation by Joel Skousen. Check that book out. Use it as a guide for your location. And then also ask yourself, okay, am I getting any sunlight here? Because there are places that on the north side of the mountain around here, good night, man. That is not the place you want to be in winter, because you won't see your ground until spring. So those are things to consider as well. And there's a bunch of other considerations, but that's where a PDC will help you out. When you finally got that location, you want to plan your farm. You want to be thinking about, well, once again, goes right back to permaculture. And folks, I keep ramming this down your throat, because it will make you efficient. If you have an inefficient farm, Joel Salatin really did a short, man, I wish I'd have queued it up. It was on his YouTube channel. I think it's The Lunatic Farmer or something like that. He had a short on there talking about the turnover rate on farms in his area and really throughout the country. It's typically 5 years. People move out to a new location in the country and they're basically off of it on an average within 5 years. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest reasons for that is because you put things in the wrong place. You made a very inefficient thing. If you have anybody on your homestead that's governing your decision-making, and I'm talking in terms of security, where you put things, if you are doing it on the basis of emotion, that person should not be in charge. If you can't work that out, you're already setting yourself up for a colossal failure. I've seen it over and over and over again where, and it ain't always women, guys, so don't think that. Like I said, there was a guy that we knew had more degrees than a thermometer, but insisted on putting chickens in zone 5 and then wondering why they're all coming up dead and wanting to blame us. I'm like, dude, tried to tell you from the very beginning, you don't put chickens in zone 5 unprotected. So that's very critical. Start small. Yeah. Start small, even though I know everybody's on a knife's edge right now with the things that are going on in this world. Start with zone 0 for a couple of reasons. Number one, zone 0 is basically your home, okay? Start there. Make that as efficient as you possibly can, down to the very last detail, if you can. Then start with zone what I call 0.5. That's your front porch. If you got one, that would be zone, or a greenhouse, let's say, that's attached to your house. I'll call that 0.5. Start with your zones, your closest. Imagine your zones, and this goes back to the PDC. Imagine your house is zone 0, and then concentric rings around your house, zone 1, all the way up to zone 5 being wilderness. Plan the things closest to you and start small. I don't care where you're living. Go back and watch Eric Seider's YouTube channel where he was had a pond on a balcony. Yeah, that impressive, y'all. I mean, incredible. Start small. Believe it or not, if you can pimp out a small area, you are way more efficient than a person on 100 acres. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Because you're thinking about things like elevation. Can I grow vertically? You know, is every single space being used the way it ought to? When you're a person on acreage like me, you might be a little bit careless about some of those things. That's why you start small. Get good at the small things. Work at the places closest to your home. Okay, think about your infrastructure. Eric also has that shirt. Water, access, structures. That's what it says on the shirt. Think about your infrastructure. I've talked about water and food from the beginning. Yeah. But think about all these different things like your fencing, your housing for animals if you need it, your tool storage. How about the produce that you collect? I mean, where are you going to put those things? What if you have inclement weather? What if you're in a place like Oklahoma and you got an ice storm, or Texas or Kansas even, and you get an ice storm? You thought about that? Do you need an infrastructure? Is it secure? Think about those things. All the things that you need to make that place. Do you have portable netting? I mean, I think it was William told me this story about a consultation he did where they had cows showing up. And I think this guy was an NFL. He did a consultation for a guy that was, he did one for a professional baseball player. And there was another one for a professional football player who had just recently retired and bought a bunch of land in Texas. Had cows showing up in a couple of days and had zero fencing. Insanity. But this stuff happens all the time. Before you get your chickens, do you have a chicken tractor? Now, having done this numerous times in numerous locations, yeah, there's been a time or two where I actually had the chickens, but I knew I had several, I knew what time I had to get them out and into the tractor. But you might want to get those things going, you know, right from the very beginning. Man, I hate to talk about this part, but you got to think about some of the regulations. And just once, I would love to have somebody report to me. I know one has, but I'd love for you to get video of people coming out telling you you can't have chickens or whatever, and then you telling them these chickens identify as dogs or people or whatever the case may be. But think about the regulations in some of those areas. I mean, the reason when Michelle and I were considering where we wanted to basically settle down permanently, our first choice, believe it or not, was not North Carolina. We both loved living in Colorado when I was in the Army. We loved it. Absolutely loved it. But all those states out west got some messed up water restrictions. And you have a bunch of lunatics out there that will turn you in a heartbeat. You can't even get water off your own roof in deserts. That's how crazy some of this stuff is. So, think about those regulations. You know, do you have not? Are you in an HOA? Okay, you're already kind of got one arm tied behind your back. Environmental protection, food safety. I mean, all these other kind of things. Think about those regulations. if you plan on making a living off this property, how are you going to do it? What regulations are there? Are you going to do a PMA and avoid all those regulations? Think about those things. Here's another one. Especially if you don't know. Now, I got to really go on. I know I'm going a little long here, but y'all, this is important. But join a community. But rethink any kind of community out there where you're living in a cooperative situation. Because frankly, there's a couple of people out there telling me that they're going well, but everybody I know that's ever been mixed up in one of those has not worked well, including me, on two different occasions. When I say a community, I'm talking about, like, is there a local farmers group, ag group? I mean, is there a cooperative extension group? I mean, network. I mean, you know, is there a Facebook group or something like that, even though I'm no fan of Facebook or anything like it? Are there communities out there? Because believe it or not, especially if you're new to an area, it will blow your mind where you don't know where to go to do certain things, but some old boy in this community knows exactly where to go. So at least think about that. Number 10, adapt and evolve. Okay, this one, man, this is big. We got a lot of people moving in here from California and New York. They came here because it was the situation they were in was untenable. Taxes are going up. It was just crazy. Couldn't afford to live there. So they take their New York money, sell their home, turn back around and come down to a place like here. And they're going to tell these old boys that have been living up in these mountains for seven generations how they ought to live. Yeah. Instead of grafting themselves into the community that currently exists. If there's some things that are just patently wrong, like this one, and I'm going to call him an idiot. There's one, in fact, there's a number of them where we got mountain streams everywhere. You can't throw a rock and not hit one. But you got this one Nimrod down the road who's got his pigs in the middle of that stream. Now, I'm about as liberty-minded as anybody you're ever going to find, but there's a thing called the tragedy of the commons, meaning that if we share this resource, then you can't pollute it upstream from me. You dig? Now, in that case, okay, you got some idiot around the corner, around the way. Now, it's not my water that he's messing with, but it's just other people down the stream, and it just aggravates the living daylights out of me. But you see it over and over and over where people have their animals. They should never have full access to your ponds or your streams. Should never. Greg Judy 101, y'all. I mean, they should never have it. But in cases like that, yeah, you got to put your foot down and find a way to dealing with that. Preferably with that person. Maybe they just don't know. Maybe that's the way grandpa did it. But you would think common sense would say, you got pigs pooping in a stream that people downstream are suffering from. Yeah, in that case right there, you wanna put foot to butt and you wanna straighten some of those things out. But also evolve. If you're there, you're in an area that you haven't lived in before, you may expect winter to be a certain way. Well, it's going to be very different in this new location, especially if you came from Arizona and now you find yourself out in North Carolina. It's going to be very different. Having lived in so many environments out here, I mean, whether it's, I mean, even Arctic environment, you name it, or whether it's a jungle environment, I'm acquainted with it. And so is Michelle. So I built that up, but I mean, it took some time and years actually to get this under my belt. But consider what's growing out there. Okay, so let's say you love Granny Smith apples where you are, but they ain't going to grow where you are or where you were and where you are. I think you get the point. There are things, you know, that I love in terms of what they're able to grow in, let's say, Florida. But I can't, unless I put in a tropical greenhouse, I'm not growing them here in North Carolina. You know, the benefit to me is I can get apples they can't grow, but they get citrus I can't grow. So you got to kind of adapt to your environment and then ask yourself some seriously critical questions like, is this actually going to work out for me? You got to be thinking about those things, y'all. And then number 11, I kind of started off with number 11. I should have just went ahead and left it. I want to put an exclamation point on that because it matters, y'all. It matters in the biggest way possible. Get that storable food, storable water. Two is one, one is none. Think about caches if you live near a city. Even if you live rurally, think about alternate places where you can store some of this stuff, whether it's ammo, food, water, whatever the case. you have home field advantage. That's why in a military environment, I don't know what it is now, but back then, to take over an environment, you know, I think it was 4-1 in a rural environment, in a city environment, I think it was 10-1 that you need to take that over. You have home field advantage, so you can take advantage of that. And I'm hopefully going to talk more about the security concerns and a lot of that stuff. But, yo, that's my 11. I'm going to call it 10 because that's really what I started with. All right. So with that said, y'all, we're going to go straight into the Q&A. Got one that I should have got to last week. I don't know why it somehow got, man, there's some weird stuff happened with these emails, y'all. So just bear with me. If I don't respond, there's a reason. So got this one from Scott. Meant to talk about it last week. He says, or last program, he says, just heard of an episode where you said your wife suffered from arthritis. You might look into adding some boron into your diet or soil or both. It's as easy as taking an eighth of a teaspoon of borax a day, which might sound weird, but it's just a salt. Yeah, I'm well aware of borax, but I didn't know that it did that. I know people that use it in terms of detoxing, but he said he's doing that and completely cleared up his mom's arthritis. So I haven't tried that. Man, I'll have to pass that one on to Michelle, but thanks so much, Scott. And, you know, it's other things like, you know, I was having a conversation with, it was from Creaky Tree Cafe. He was formerly in the medical environment, and he was telling me about all these things that could do everything from stop heart attacks and strokes and all these other healing modalities that you're not allowed to know about. Yeah, you're not allowed to know about those things because, you know what, the powers that shouldn't be can't make any money on it. How about that? Got one from Zach here, and I love these kinds of emails. Hope all is well. I wanted to share a couple of observations and solutions that have helped me to manage my Japanese beetle issues. This is my third year on our property, and I've seen improvements each year and have been winning this year by inches. Yeah, that's what I want to hear, man. You don't win it in miles, but in inches. You try to win it in miles by putting some 7 dust on it. That's not what we do, y'all. Not if you want to maintain it. Not if you want any life, anyway. Anyway, you talked about Spirico and Stefan Subkowiak. And man, it's always a joy when you see somebody out there that you know is studying this stuff. Y'all, that's what gives me such joy. And then the best part is when you go out and put it into practice. So yeah, anyway, so what he's done is, one, his comfrey is proving to be a great decoy plant that can handle all of the abuse from the beetles that the beetles can dish out. I've never known that before, but thank you for that tip. I've noticed far fewer beetles attacking my stone fruits and raspberries and virtually none of my apple trees, despite them almost being wiped out and cleaned out last year. Number two, putting birdhouses for smaller birds in my food forest that may prey on the beetles. Man, that is just awesome. Greg Judy, I think, has done a lot of that. Stefan Subkowiak, I think that's where you might have gotten some of that. Man, that's what I'm saying. You don't have a beetle, you don't have a pest problem, you got a lack of birds problem, you know? And I'll tell you what, as your food forests and your orchards get better and better and better, you're going to find out natural predators are going to come in and wipe a lot of that stuff out. But honestly, Zach and everybody else, make sure you focus on that soil Fukuoka style. Number three, running chickens and spreading broken mushroom blocks and, oh man, compost extracts through our field and improving overall soil health where my adults lay their eggs. Man, that is absolutely genius, man. That is a brilliant idea. I can get a whole pickup truck worth of spent mushroom blocks around here. I think he charged me $50 and I couldn't even begin to use it all, but that's a really interesting way of doing it, man. Especially if you can take those mushroom blocks and somehow break them. The problem I had was I never got them small enough. I'd have to leave them in chunks when I put them out there. So I wonder if you can take that because there's still some spawns still left in it. So I wonder if you could make that stuff almost like a sawdust and stick it out there. I bet it would work even better, especially right before rain. Number four, allowing areas along our wood lines and behind our food forest to grow wild, which invites plenty of wasps and other predatory insects like dragonflies and damselflies. Man, that is what I'm talking about, Zach. That is exactly, folks. I was so excited to get that and read it to y'all because, man, it just blows my mind. How many people out there, maybe we had a small hand in it along with Subkowiak and Spirico. But man, when I'm hearing people out here actually putting this stuff to work, being patient enough to look, most of the ground in the United States of Amnesia is absolutely destroyed. It's going to take time. You're not always going to have a harvest. But if you're patient, like I talked about with the potato harvest, last year we were dealing with some jacked up soil. This year, very respectable harvest, and we got more coming. And I had a family member who just couldn't bear the notion of failing. So he'd go out there with seven dust. Meanwhile, you just killed everything. You killed your soil life, but now you're on that bandwagon. And the only way to get around it is to go on back to soil life. So Zach, man, you just made my day with that. So folks, there is a lesson to be learned there. If you want to be on that bandwagon where you're constantly buying fertilizer and constantly needing those things, you knock yourself out if you want to, but it ain't nothing on nature, especially most of that fertilizer you're getting, y'all, it becomes salts. Your plants bioaccumulate almost, I mean, it's negligible what they're able to take up. But when you use the biological systems, I mean, it'll blow your mind, especially if you give it time. All right, so last one here. Michael says, what specific Premier One fencing are you using for sheep? I use, if you go to Premier One, you can put in like sheep fence or whatever they have it. You put in sheep fence, and I use a combination of the 35-inch tall, always double spike. I don't know who in their right mind would use a single spike. I would never use a single spike fence. And what I mean by that, they got one type where it has one spike and it goes in the ground. They got another one where there's two and it is way more stable. I don't use anything else but two spike, first of all. And I use the taller one, which is, I think, 40 inches. And they have another one, which I think is 35. I use them both. But if you got sheep that want to jump out, that 35 might be a little bit tempting. But if they're jumping out, believe me, they ain't going to do it long because they're going to wind up in a freezer because I can't have them teaching the others how to do that very same thing. So I use them both. And when I got new ones on the property, I try to make absolutely sure. I think they even make a 48. And that one is heavier. It's more of a permanent type. When I got new ones on the property and I'm trying to acclimate them to the area, I usually start with a very tall one because that one's kind of a pain to move around and they're only, you know, I think they're 50 feet. I can't remember how long, but I usually get the ones that are 100 to 150 feet. And sometimes, depending on what you're going through, I mean, I had to just buy what I could off the shelf sometimes. And yeah, that's what I use for the sheep, but you want to make sure they're trained. And if they're jumping out of it, you want to make sure your charger is fantastic. So in addition to that, I know you didn't ask about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If it is a charger made in Germany, New Zealand, or Australia, it's probably decent. Do not buy, it pains me to say it, but you can't find a good American-made charger that will stick around. And I mean, they got some stuff in those other places, man, that'll knock your socks off. That's what I use. All right, hopefully all of this has been a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive.
All this speech is the word. Now I gotta get up in the morning. Gotta make up for the lessons I learned.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.